بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعل له عوجا الحمد لله is for the one who revealed the book أي the Quran upon his abd, his worshipper, meaning Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, وَلَمْ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ عِوَجًا. And there is no deviation or crookedness in this book. قَيِّمًا. Rather it is upright. لِيُنْذِرَ بَأْسًا شَدِيدًا مِنْ لَدُنْ. And this book has come in order to warn the people of a severe punishment from Allah. And at the same time, وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. And at the same time, giving glad tidings to those believers who do righteous actions, that for them will be the great reward. So this is the objective behind the revelation of the Qur'an. It came with two things. لِيُنْذِرَ, in order to warn the people against the punishment. وَيُبَشِّرَ, and in order to give the glad tidings and the promise and the good news to the believers. And Allah subhanahu, He described His book as Al-Furqan. And the meaning of Al-Furqan is the clear division, the clear divide. Meaning the clear divide between Al-Haq wal-Batil, between the truth and between falsehood. So this is now the third objective behind the revelation of the Qur'an. In order to distinguish between that which is true and that which is false, a criterion. The first objective, to warn the people against the punishment. The second objective, to give glad tidings to the believers. This was in Surah Al-Kahf. And then as a furqan, as a division and a criterion between truth and falsehood. Allah subhanahu said, تبارك الذي نزل الفرقان على عبده. May he be blessed, the one who revealed the Furqan, the criterion between al-haq wal-batil, upon his worshipper. ليكون للعالمين نذيرا. So he could be a warner for the people. الذي له ملك السماوات والأرض. The one who has the dominion of the heavens and the earth. وَلَمْ يَتَّخِذْ وَلَدًا. And he never took a child. He never begot a child. وَلَمْ يَكُلْ لَهُ شَرِيكٌ فِي الْمُلْكِ. And he has no partner in his dominion. وَخَلَقَ كُلَّ شَيْءٍ. And he created everything. فَقَدَّرَهُ تَقْدِيرًا. And he detailed everything and measured everything. So this book of Allah, subhanahu, it is the eternal book of Allah. كِتَابُ اللَّهِ الْخَالِدِ. The eternal book of Allah. And it is Hujjatullah al-Baligha. And it is a clear evidence upon the people. And Allah subhanahu revealed it as guidance, huda wa rahmah, as guidance and mercy. And also this book al-Quran, this blessed noble book of Allah, it contains a clear manhaj, a clear methodology and a path that Muslims have to follow in order to live their lives properly. And it guides to the most upright and correct life. The life which is fulfilling in this dunya and in the hereafter. إِنَّ هَذَا الْقُرْآنِ يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. Allah subhanahu said, verily this Qur'an يَهْدِي لِلَّتِي هِيَ أَقْوَمْ. It guides to that which is أَقْوَمْ. Most correct, most fulfilling, most upright. وَيُبَشِّرُ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. And also it gives glad tidings to those believers who do righteous actions of a great reward. And this Qur'an was the greatest sign and the greatest miracle of Allah subhanahu. From all the miracles which came before, the miracle which was given to Musa alayhi salam, and Isa alayhi salam, and Nuh alayhi salam, and Ibrahim alayhi salam, and all those miracles which were given, the greatest of the miracles was the Quran. And Allah subhanahu gave this Quran to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam in order to aid him over the enemies of al-Islam. And this miracle was so great that the environment in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam arose, the people around him, they were the most eloquent of people, and they were the greatest linguists and poets. And whilst the Quran was being revealed, Allah subhanahu challenged those very people who spoke the same language, the same Arabic. He challenged them to find a fault in it whilst it's being revealed. And he challenged them to bring something similar to it if they could. And they could not do so. Some of the ulama mentioned that al-huruf al-muqatta'ah, like alif, lam, mim, taha, yasin, what's the wisdom behind Allah revealing alif, lam, mim, and taha, and yasin? Some of the mufassirun mentioned that the wisdom behind these al-huruf al-muqatta'ah is that Allah is challenging the Quraysh that, look, the Quran is the same letters which you use. It is the same alif, the same lams, the same mim, the same ya, the same seen, the same ta, the same ha, kaf, ha, ya, ain, sad, qaf, sad, the same letters which you are using. So bring something like it. And they were not able to do so. Allah subhanahu said, وَإِن كُنْتُمْ فِي رَيْبٍ مِمَّا نَزَّلْنَا عَلَىٰ عَبْدِنَا فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِّن مِثْلِهِ, that if you are in any doubt regarding the validity of the Quran, or that this is from Allah subhanahu, then bring a surah, just a surah, not a whole Quran, just bring a surah like a surah of the Quran. وَادْعُوا شُهَدَاءَكُمْ مِنْ دُونِ اللَّهِ, and bring your witnesses besides Allah, إِن كُنْتُمْ صَادِقِينَ, if you are truthful. And then what did he say? وَإِن لَمْ تَفْعَلُوا وَلَنْ تَفْعَلُوا, and if you're not able to do so, meaning bring even a small chapter like the Quran, and you will never, lan, you will never be able to do so. Lan and nafi lil mustaqbal. Lan meaning never in the future, you'll never be able to do so. And Allah subhanahu revealed this ayah whilst the Quran was still being revealed. It wasn't after the Quran had finished, the Quran was still being revealed. And the people were still alive, it wasn't after they had passed away. And he challenged them to find a fault or bring something similar, and nobody could do so, even though they were the masters of the very language, the language of Alif, Lam, Mim, the language of Yasin, Taha, and so on and so forth. In fact, Allah subhanahu challenged them even further. He said, وَلَئِنْ اجْتَمَعَتْ الْإِنْسُ وَالْجِنِ عَلَىٰنْ يَأْتُوا بِمِثْلِهِ, that if the jinn and the humans, all of them came together in order to bring something similar to the Quran, just like an ayah or like a small chapter, a few ayat, they will not be able to do so, even if some of them are helpers towards the others. I mean, they all work together, they're not able to do so. So this shows us the truthfulness of the Quran, that 1440 odd years ago, they were challenged to bring something similar. They were not able to do so. Find a fault, they were not able to do so. And they have not been able to do so. Even after all those years and all these advancements in science and technology and everything, science changes every day and theories change every day. The Quran has remained constant. The Quran has not changed. And this science and all the uqala, all the academics and the intelligent ones and intellectuals, they've not been able to find a single fault in the Quran or produce something similar to it. And this therefore shows us the validity of the Quran. And Allah subhanahu mentioned regarding the Quran, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَرْفَعُ بِهَذَا الْكِتَابِ أَقْوَامٍ وَيَذَا آخَرِينَ, that Allah subhanahu, he raises people by this Quran and he debases people, meaning lowest people, by this Quran. And he mentioned that the best of us, of our ummah, خَيْرٌ كُمَّنْ تعلم القرآن وعلم, in the hadith of Uthman رضي الله عنه, the best of you is the one who learns the Quran and teaches the Quran. And this is why we find, this is the truthfulness of this hadith, that we find in our ummah that the reciter of the Quran or the memorizer of the Quran or the teacher of the Quran is respected. Wherever you go, in whatever community, you might even have, for example, a cleaner, you know, from the streets, and he has memorized the Quran. And you have ministers and princes who haven't memorized the Quran. And you'll find that cleaner is the one who goes forward to lead the salah. And they would not dare go forward. And that's why you find kings praying behind ulama and huffaz, showing us that Allah has raised the people of the Quran. So those who practice the Quran, learn the Quran, they are raised and elevated in this dunya and the akhirah. And those who are negligent over the Quran, na'udhu billah, they are lowered and debased. And no doubt in the recitation of the Quran, in the tilawa of the Quran, and the hifth, the memorization of the Quran, there's a great fadl, great reward, and a great merit. And there's no book upon the face of this earth which is read and recited precisely as much as the Quran. Other books are skim read, meaning people read quickly. The Quran is different. Every harf, every harakah, every vowel, every letter, every shadda, every emphasis, every waqf, every moment of stopping and silence, all of it is recited properly. And for this reason, we find amongst the sunnah of the Muslims, meaning the practice of the Muslims, wherever you go in the world, that people want their children to finish reciting the Quran at least once before they are 10 or 12. And some people, they finish reciting the Quran every week. And others finish reciting the Quran every month, or 3 months, or 6 months, or once a year. And like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned the virtue and the reward of the tilawa of the Quran, of the recitation of the Quran. Even if you understand nothing from it, but still the tilawa of the Quran, even if you understand no Arabic, it still contains great virtue. Firstly, that the one who recites Quran and makes tilawa, his recitation of the Quran will be an intercession for him on Yawm al-Qiyamah, Shafa'a. And what this means is that this person will be deserving of punishment because of the many sins which this person has, will be deserving of punishment. And then because he used to recite the Quran, all that punishment will be forgiven on the basis of his tilawa. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, اقرأ القرآن. Recite the Quran, read the Quran. فَإِنَّهُ يَأْتِي يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ شَفِيعًا لِأَصْحَابِهِ. Because the Quran will come on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ as a shafa'ah, as an intercession on يَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ. And Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimullah, he mentioned, إِنَّ مِنْ إِتْمَامِ التَّوْبَةِ, that from the perfection and the completion of istighfar and tawbah is to increase in good actions. From the completion of istighfar is that you increase in your righteous actions. Because these righteous actions will come on Yawm al-Qiyamah, and because of these righteous actions, more and more sins will be forgiven. Also, from the virtues and the rewards of reciting the Quran, as you all know, that Allah has placed a reward for every letter of the Quran which is recited, not only every word. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Man qara harfan min kitabillah." Whoever recites a single letter from the book of Allah, falahu hasana, he will have a single reward. And then Allah multiplies that single reward by 10. He said, "La aqul alif lam mim harf." I don't say alif lam mim is one reward, one letter, but alif is one letter, i.e., 10 good deeds. Wal lam is one letter, meaning 10 more good deeds. And meem is another harf, therefore more good deeds. So this is the reward for reciting the Quran. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that the one who used to recite the Quran in this dunya, to the extent of his recitation of the Quran, that person will carry on being elevated in Jannah. The Quran will come to a person and the Quran will say, Rattil kama kunta turattil. Read as you used to read. Wartaqi, and carry on elevating. And the more a person used to read, the more a person's position will be elevated on Yawm al-Qiyamah. So these are the virtues of the tilawa, the recitation of the Quran. What do we learn from this? Two things. What does this encourage us to do? Two things. The first, that you have to improve your recitation of the Qur'an, your ability to read and recite the Qur'an. And any Muslim who is over the age of puberty and cannot recite the Qur'an properly or fluently should find within themselves a sense of shame that this is the book of Allah which has been revealed, and I am a Muslim and I have iman in Allah and His Messenger and His book. And Allah addresses me in this book. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. Addresses me as a Muslim. Allah directly addresses me in this book. And I'm ashamed that I cannot recite this book properly, fluently, efficiently. And therefore, you make attempts and you strive to improve your recitation. And if there is a Muslim who does not feel ashamed that he's not able to recite the book of Allah properly, then he has to question his iman. That he's not even embarrassed that he cannot recite the book of Allah. As long as there is some shame and some embarrassment and some haya, there is goodness. There is no goodness without haya. So this is the first matter. The second matter is that it encourages us to recite the Quran. And that we have a wird, a portion of the Quran, which we recite every day according to an appropriate time and an appropriate amount. Meaning it's better for a person to recite a page of the Qur'an every day in a time which is easy. For example, before sleeping, recite one page of the Qur'an. That's better, and he does it every day. It's better than a person who one day recites half of a juz and then is too difficult and misses it out for another week. And then maybe after recites four pages and then it's too difficult, then misses it another week and like this. It's better to recite a wird, even if it is a small daily portion of the Qur'an according to your responsibility, your work and your time. So this is with regards to the tilawa of the Qur'an, the recitation of the Qur'an. And also in the hifz of the Qur'an, in the memorization of the Qur'an, there's a great reward and a great fadl. And one of the great virtues of memorizing the Qur'an or memorizing a portion of the Qur'an is that through you and through your memorization, Allah is protecting the Qur'an. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guaranteed that this Qur'an will be preserved and protected. And He took it upon Himself that He is the one who will preserve and protect the Qur'an. But how will He protect it? Through the memorization of the righteous, pious men and women amongst the Muslims. And again, there is no other book upon the face of the earth which is memorized by as many people and memorized with that diqqa, with that, in how exact it is memorized, like the Qur'an. And this is why you find, alhamdulillah, in our masajid, especially like Masjid Furqan and generally amongst the Muslims, throughout the various communities, you find children before even 10 years old or 14 years old in the various continents from every ethnicity, north, south, east and west, and they have memorized the Qur'an. And they have memorized the Qur'an precisely. Kalima, kalima. Harf, harf. Haraka, haraka. Word by word. Letter by letter. Vowel by vowel. And they have memorized the Qur'an precisely, like the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to recite. And this is also a mu'jiza. This is also one of the miracles of the Qur'an. This is also a sign that the Qur'an is correct and it is from Allah. Because no other book has been memorized by as many people and as precisely as the Qur'an has. In fact, the scholars of the Gospel and the Bible and the Torah, the priests and the rabbis, the scholars, the greatest scholars, they have not memorized their scriptures like a 10-year-old Muslim boy who does not even speak Arabic has memorized the Qur'an. It's a great disparity between this and this. And Allah subhanahu mentioned, He said, "Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafidhun." He said, verily, we are the ones who have revealed the dhikr. Dhikr, the dhikr meaning the Qur'an. And we are the ones who will preserve and protect and guard the Qur'an. As-Sa'di rahimahullah in his tafsir, he said, and I read, A, fi hal inzalihi wa ba'da inzalihi. When Allah said, and we will protect and guard the Qur'an, meaning we will protect and guard the Qur'an whilst it is being revealed and after its revelation. فَفِي حَالِ إِنْزَالِهِ As for the protection of Allah for the Qur'an whilst it is being revealed, حَافِذُونَ لَهُ مِنْ إِسْتِرَاقِ كُلِّ شَيْطَانٍ رَجِيمٍ That Allah protected the Qur'an whilst it was being sent down from above the heavens to the earth from every shaitan and every disbelieving jinn who tried to steal something from it. They were not able to do so. وَأَمَّا بَعْدَ إِنْزَالِهِ And as for the protection and the preservation of the Qur'an after it was revealed, meaning after it's reached the earth, he said, أَوْدَعَهُ اللَّهُ فِي قَلْبِ رَسُولِهِ صَلَى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمُ That Allah placed this Qur'an in the heart of His Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم. وَاسْتَوْدَعَهُ فِيهَا ثُمَّ فِي قُلُوبِ أُمَّتِهِ And also that Allah placed this Qur'an in the hearts of the ummah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, meaning the hufadha of the Quran. So Allah subhanahu, He protected the Quran whilst it was being revealed from every shaitan. And He protected it after it was revealed. How did He protect it? Through the hifth of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he memorized the Quran, and also the hifth of the hufadha of this ummah. Those who have memorized some of the Qur'an or portion of the Qur'an or all of the Qur'an, this is another way of Allah protecting and preserving His book. وَحَفِظَ اللَّهُ أَلْفَاظَهُ مِنَ التَّغَيُّرْ فِيهَا وَالزِّيَادَ وَالنَّقْصِ And so through the hifth of the Muslims, the memorization of the Muslims, Allah has protected the wording of the Qur'an from any change, any alteration, any addition, any deficiency. وَمَعَانِي مِنَ التَّبْدِيلِ And Allah has protected also the meanings of the Qur'an from any type of changing. فَلَا يُحَرِّفُ مُحَرِّفٌ مِنْ مَعَانِي إِلَّا وَقَيَّضَ اللَّهُ لَهُ مَنْ يُبَيِّنِ الْحَقِّ الْمُبِينِ And so anybody who tries to come and alter the meaning of the Qur'an or change the meaning of the Qur'an, Allah also sends people, I ulama and huffaz, who refute and who correct and don't allow the meanings of the Quran to be changed. وَهَذَا مِنْ أَعْظَمِ آيَاتِ اللَّهِ And this is from the greatest signs of Allah. I mean, this is from the greatest signs of Allah that this Quran, it is the truth. The fact that so many people have memorized this Quran so precisely throughout the past 1400 years and it's never changed. And you find people from different continents and they don't even speak the Arabic language. You could take a hafiz from China and a hafiz from Africa and a hafiz from Asia and a hafiz from England. And every haraka that they recite is the same and any harf that they recite is the same and every kalima they recite is the same. And that this is not with any other book. This in of itself is a great ayah that this book, it is the book of Allah. And this book, it is divine. Because the only one who could inspire so many people to do this is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why it's never been replicated. And it cannot be replicated. And Allah subhanahu said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ لِلذِّكْرِ فَهَلْ مِنْ مُدَّكِرْ Verily, we have made the Qur'an easy. So who will take a lesson? Ibn Kathir said, وَلَقَدْ يَسَّرْنَا الْقُرْآنَ We have made the Qur'an easy. أي سَهَلْنَا لَفْظَ Meaning that we have made the wording of the Qur'an easy. وَيَسَّرْنَا مَعْنَاهُ And we have made the meaning of the Qur'an easy. لِمَنْ أَرَادَ For whoever wants. Meaning for whoever wants to memorize the Qur'an, we have made it easy. And whoever wants to understand the Qur'an, we have made it easy. And this is why we find so many huffaz, even 10-year-olds. That's a miracle. A 10-year-old can memorize a whole volume, word for word and haraka for haraka, without any changing. That in itself is a great miracle. So the tilawa of the Qur'an, it contains a great reward, and the hifz of the Qur'an contains a great reward. However, at the same time, the Qur'an was not revealed to merely recite and make hifz, even though it contains a great reward. And Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, or one of the Imams of the Tabi'een, they mentioned that at the time of the Salaf, the most common person was the one who would recite the Qur'an a lot. This was the most common person. Meaning every person, every ammi, every common jahil Muslim, the minimum was that they would recite the Qur'an the most. And now in our time, we say that the one who recites the Qur'an is the best of the ummah. Look how standards have changed. At the time of the Salaf, the most common Muslim was the one who recited the Qur'an. This was normal, nothing great. In our time today, the one who recites the Qur'an, we say he's maybe the most pious Muslim. So the purpose and the objective behind the revelation of the Qur'an was not mere tilawa or hifz, even though it contains a great reward, but it was a tadabbur. It was to contemplate and ponder over the meanings of the Qur'an and take knowledge from the Qur'an and then live according to the Qur'an. And this Allah subhanahu mentioned clearly. He said, Kitabun anzalnahu ilayka mubarak. Why? Liyaddabbaru ayate. A book we have revealed to you, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Mubarak, it contains blessings. Then he said, Liyaddabbaru ayate. So that they may ponder over its ayat. This lam, liyaddabbaru, lam at-ta'lil. It is the lam which shows the reason for something and the cause for something. So when Allah subhanahu said, لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ, this li, lam ta'lil, meaning we reveal it in order for it to be pondered over. The cause and the reason for its revelation is for knowledge and taking lessons and living according to it. And also in the Quran, Allah calls out to those people who do not ponder over the Qur'an. أَفَلَا يَتَدَّبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ. Do they not ponder over the Qur'an? Meaning, why do they not ponder over the Qur'an? And also, one of the meanings of tilawa is recitation and implementation. This is the tilawa. Because there's two types of tilawa. There is mere tilawa, and then there's haqq tilawa, the actual form of a tilawa. And Allah mentions haqq tilawa. He said, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. That those people to whom we have given the book, they recite the Qur'an, but how? حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, the true form of a tilawa. And what is the true form of a tilawa? Ibn Kathir mentions that Ibn Mas'ud said, he said, وَالَّذِي نَفْسِي بِيَدِهِ, I swear by the one in whose hand is my soul, إِنَّ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, that the true form of tilawa is أَنْ يَحِلَّ حَلَالًا, that the one who is reciting that which is halal in the Qur'an, he considers it to be halal. وَيُحَرِّمُ حَرَامًا, and that which is haram in the Qur'an, he considers it to be haram, meaning he stays away from it. وَيَقْرَأَهُ كَمَا أَنزَلَهُ اللَّهِ, and he recites it as it has been revealed by Allah. So حَقُّ التِلَاوَة, the true form of tilawa, is reciting it, and then also what is halal, you do. What is wajib, you fulfill. What is haram, you stay away from. This is حَقُّ التِلَاوَة. And this is the meaning of the saying of Allah, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, that those people to whom the book was revealed, they recite the Qur'an حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ, in its true form, properly. And for them is the great reward. And so, if we take it upon ourselves to learn how to recite the Qur'an, and then we recite it, and we memorize what we are able to do so. So a person should not think that I'm too old to memorize the whole Qur'an and therefore I won't memorize any of the Qur'an. This is a mistake. Because sometimes it's true that the ability to memorize the Qur'an completely, this is something which Allah gives a person. And amongst the Sahaba, were those who memorized the Quran completely, and those who memorized some of the Quran, and those who memorized ayat of the Quran, even amongst the Sahaba. And the point behind this is that the one who isn't able to memorize the whole Quran should not say, okay, I want to memorize any of the Quran. Memorize at least what you are able to do so. And there are great stories, and perhaps you know from your own communities, of people who have memorized the Quran after 60 years old. From my own self, I can tell you of my own GP. His name is Dr. Sulaiman, Hafidhullah. And he completed the memorization of the Quran after he retired from medicine, meaning 60 or 65. That's when he completed the memorization of the Quran. And it took him maybe 10, 15 years of memorizing the Quran. How did he do so? Two ayat a day, or two lines a day, nothing more. Just two lines a day, but over 15, 20 years, alhamdulillah, he has memorized the Quran. So if you're able to recite the full Quran and memorize the full Quran, alhamdulillah, a great ni'mah. But if you're not able to do so, then memorize what you can from that which Allah has given you the ability over. So if we ponder over the Quran and we act according to the Quran, we live according to the Quran, we recite the Quran, we contemplate over the meanings of the Quran, what is the result? What is the natija? And Allah subhanahu mentions three results of this. There are three results of a person living according to the Quran. The first result is that you will not be touched by wretchedness in this life and the hereafter. He said in Surah Taha, مَا أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْكَ الْقُرْآنَ لِتَشْقَى. He said, we did not reveal the Quran to you لِتَشْقَى, so you may be wretched and depressed and sad and always worrying. We did not reveal the Quran upon you for this. Meaning, we revealed the Quran for the opposite, for you to be fulfilled in this life and in the hereafter, and for you to find happiness and delight in this life and the hereafter. So this is the first result of living according to the Quran. Qatada said, Ibn Kathir mentions, La wallahi ma ja'alahu shiqa'an. He says, no, by Allah. Allah did not reveal the Quran shiqa'an, to bring you misery and sadness and wretchedness. Walakin ja'alahu rahmatan wa nura. Rather, Allah revealed the Quran and He made it rahmah upon you, and nur, enlightenment upon you. Wa dalilan ila al-jannah, and a clear way and a guide to Jannah. This is why the Quran was revealed. And this is the first result of living according to the Quran. Secondly, that you will find that your life is upright. You have a clear guidance and clear direction in your life. You know where you have come from, you know where you are and why you are here, and you know where you are going. This is one of the results of living according to the Quran. Allah subhanahu said, Inna hadha al-Quran yahdi lillati hiya aqwam. That verily this Quran, it guides that which is most upright. It shows you and it gives you guidance in your life. And also, the third result of living according to the Quran, that this Quran will help you through your worries and your anxieties and your problems. Because Allah subhanahu, He described it as such. He said, قُلْ هُوَ لِلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا هُدًى وَشِفَاءً. Say that it is, i.e. the Quran, for those people who have iman, it is guidance and it is shifa, it is cure. So this is the third result of living according to the Quran. And we see this also from experience. Because sometimes we come across men and women, young and old, almost on a daily basis. And this one's got a problem with his wife. And this one's got money problems. And the other one's got a problem with his children. And the other one's got problems in his career. And this one's got a problem with his or her spouse. And if you look at why they've got these problems, I can almost guarantee that the source of the problem is they went against the teachings of the Quran. So this person, he's now complaining of debts, but then he took a loan based upon riba. and that brought upon him debts. This person, he's not complaining about his relationship, but that relationship was haram. It was illicit. It was before marriage. And now there's problems in it. This one's complaining about his children, but he did not bring them upon the teachings of the Quran. And now there's problems in his family. And all the time you find this, that it always goes back to, you've gone against the Quran. You went against the teachings of the Quran. You brought this upon yourself. Allah told you that the Quran, He did not reveal it, لِتَشْقَى, to have misery. And this ayah means that if you don't follow the Quran and you go against the teaching of the Quran, there will be misery in your life. So these are the results of living according to the Quran. And Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah, he mentioned in his book Al-Fawaid, he mentioned the three types of people with regards to the Quran. In his book Al-Fawaid, towards the beginning, I think maybe the first or second even page, he mentioned three types of people with regards to the Quran. In the saying of Allah, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَذِكْرًا, verily in it, i.e. the Quran, there is a reminder. لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ, for the one who has a heart, أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعُ, and the one who is attentive, وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدُ, and he is present. In this ayah, from this ayah, Ibn al-Qayyim al-Jawziyyah rahimullah, he mentioned three types of people with regards to the Quran in Al-Fawaid. He said, النَّاسُ ثَلَاثَةً, that there are three types of people. رَجُلٌ قَلْبُهُ مَيِّتٌ, the first one is a person whose heart is dead. فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي لَا قَلْبَ لَهُ, so that is the person who has no heart. فَهَذَا لَيْسَتِ الْآيَةِ ذِكْرَ فِي حَقِّهِ, and the one who has no heart, the ayat of the Quran will not be a reminder for this person. He said the second type of person, رَجُلٌ لَهُ قَلْبٌ حَيٌّ مُسْتَعِدٌ, a person who does have a heart, living and able, meaning able to receive and able to learn. لَكِنَّهُ غَيْرَ مُسْتَمِعٍ, however, he does not pay attention to the Quran. He does not learn, he does not listen. And he said that this person, he does not benefit from the Quran. Why? إِمَّا لِعَدَمِ وُرُودِهَا, because either he does not take it upon himself to learn the Quran, أو لِوُصُولِهَا إِلَيْهِ وَقَلْبُهُ مَشْغُولٌ, or that the Quran does come to him, but his heart is always occupied. Meaning he places no place in his heart or space in his heart to learn the Quran. فَهُوَ غَائِبُ الْقَلْبِ لَيْسَ حَاضِرًا, so this person, his mind is always preoccupied away from the Quran, never attentive towards the Quran. And then he said the third type of person is رَجُلٌ حَيُّ الْقَلْبِ مُسْتَعِدٌ, is a person who has a heart which is living and willing and able. تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِ آيَاتُ, and when the ayat of the Quran are recited upon him, فَأَصْعَى بِسَمْعِهِ, he concentrates, and he's attentive, and he listens. وَأَلْقَ السَّمْعِ, again, he is attentive. وَأَحْضَرَ قَلْبُهُ, and also, he focuses his heart upon learning. وَلَمْ يُشَغِّلْهُ بِغَيْرِ فَهْمٍ مَا يَسْمَعُ فَهُوَ شَاهِدُ الْقَلْبِ, so this person, he's focused on the Quran. The point is, just to summarize, that if you look at this ayah which was recited, he said, إِنَّ, Allah subhanahu says, إِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ, verily in the Quran, la dhikra, there is a reminder and admonishment. For who? لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ, for the one who has a heart. So therefore, the one who does not have a heart, no taqwa, no khashya, no khushu, the Quran will not affect this person. Because the first condition which Allah mentioned in this ayah, لِمَنْ كَانَ لَهُ قَلْبٌ, that in order for you to benefit from this Quran, there has to be something in your heart. Secondly, أَوْ أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ, that you give your hearing to the Quran. Na'am, you listen to the Quran. You want to learn the Quran. And then the third condition, وَهُوَ الشَّهِيدُ, that you have to be present. You cannot be preoccupied or negligent or focused away from the Quran, too busy with other things. When these three conditions are fulfilled, then a person can take an admonishment from the Quran. And this is how Ibn al-Qayyim mentioned three groups of people. One person, completely blind, because he does not have a heart in the first place, completely blind. The second person, he has a heart, he's able to see, but he's looking elsewhere. He's not looking at the Quran. Because, أو ألقى السمع, he did not pay attention. He did not give his hearing to the Quran. Third person is one who has a heart, he has eyes, he looks at the Quran, وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ, and he concentrates on the Quran. And he focuses on the Quran. This is the one for whom the Quran is dhikra. The Quran is a reminder. So on account of everything which has been said, and the importance of knowing the meanings of the Quran and taking lessons from the Quran, reminders from the Quran, the brothers in the Masjid, Jazahumullah Khair, they decided that we start a series in reading and understanding Juz Amma. Because Juz Amma, the 30th Juz of the Quran, it contains those chapters that many of us either have memorized or we recite often in our salawat, especially the smaller chapters at the back. At the end of Juz Amma, we often recite them in our salawat, we hear them in the khutab, and when the imam is reciting, and that we should try to understand these ayat and take some lessons from them. So bi-idhnillah, from next week onwards inshallah, every Saturday after Dhuhr, we'll start with Surah Naba, Amma Yatasa'aloon, and by the Taysir of Allah, we work towards Surah An-Nas. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us a tawfiq to implement that which we learn, and they make us the people of the Quran, and those who are able to truly recite the Quran, Haqq al-Tilawa, and that He makes the Quran an evidence for us on Yawm al-Qiyamah, not against us on Yawm al-Qiyamah. We ask Allah to make us from those people who are elevated by the Quran and not debased by the Quran. هذا والله أعلم. صلى الله على نبينا وسلم وجزاكم الله خيرًا.